5:31, and we're going to sing verses 1 and 5. So everybody sing loud and clear. Yes, please stand.
You can't go by the overhead for the first verse.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Number 5.
Till ring, sing on its way, the world from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men.
Greet your neighbors. Good morning, everyone. Hey. And now we will have the lighting of the Advent candle, and the Mason boys are going to do this.
Don't burn the place down.
The second purple candle symbolizes peace. One of the hallmarks of a Christmas story is when the angels appear to the shepherds and proclaim peace on earth. In Luke 2:14, Jesus brought about peace in the most unexpected ways when he arrived. The Jews, particularly the Zealots, wanted a rebellion. They wanted their Savior to overturn the oppressive rule in the Romans and bring about peace in a violent way. But Jesus had something else in mind. Jesus brings us peace in several ways. One, he gives us ever peace because of his work on the cross. We have a chance to receive salvation and be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. This grant is inner peace, John 14:27. Not only do we have peace that comes from our assurance of salvation, but we also have the peace of mind knowing God will heal this broken world and come again. Second, we have peace with others. We put aside our differences, Galatians 3:28, especially with other believers, because we belong to the same family. We have the same purpose, to let others know about the peace of Christ. Scripture, Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will find you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear God, as we light the second candle of this Christmas wreath, we ask for your peace. In a world filled with turmoil, may this light in this wreath remind us of the peace that only you can give. Help us to be your instruments and go out in our community and show others the peace that you've given to us. And all these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Andy, Maudie, and Glade. Announcements. Of course, youth group meets Wednesdays from 4 to 5:30, and the after-school group meets Thursdays from 4 to 5. So We're always happy to have the kids, and we have a great time with the kids, that's for sure. There's a meeting, a board meeting on Monday at 7 o'clock. Elders meet at 6:30, so anyone that is welcome to attend, so remember the board meeting on Monday. Christmas caroling is on the 13th, and there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. I don't know how many people will be able to be there. I know there's some conflicts. So, and then Christmas Tree Sunday is December 17th, and there's a breakfast, and there's also a sign-up sheet for those who wish to bring something to contribute. I'd like to thank Joe Driscoll for setting up the nativity scene. He did it all by himself, and it looks great out there. Let's see, what else do I have to tell you about? the Christmas Eve program. We're kind of, in the final stages of determining what the program will be, but if there's anyone out there that wants to be involved, that has a special talent they would like to share with us, please see me after the services, and we would like to include you in the program. Are there any other announcements? Tammy gave us a card, and she just said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and she signed it. So, we know that Tammy is learning to read and write, and she did a great job. So I'll post this on the bulletin board. What's next? Prayer requests. I know we need to add Jim Olson. He's going to be undergoing chemo, and we need to keep him in our prayers. And I know we need to keep Millie definitely in our prayers. And anyone in the congregation who's lost loved ones recently, we definitely have you in our prayers. Are there any? Oh, Paula. Christy Campbell.
Gary Campbell.
Yes, Gary Campbell passed away Thursday, I believe, and I don't know any of the funeral arrangements or anything for him, but we need to keep his family in prayer. Ronnie? Donna Purdy, we need to keep her in our prayers as she's going to have heart surgery on Thursday, so definitely keep her in her prayers. And anyone else out there who might have special needs? So, anyway, yeah, Tammy? I'm sorry? You found? Oh, right, yes, Tammy got baptized, and we're really happy about that. And at the end of the services, we're going to have some special recognition for her and Brad. So anyway, anyone else have anything that they would like to request prayers for, or anybody? Sherry?
My dad just lost
his wife. Sherry Allen's dad just lost his wife, so we need to pray for that family. Tammy? That's tragic. Anyone else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, be with those individuals who are suffering because of the loss of a loved one, and just hold them in your heart, and know that they're suffering right now, and know that they really love those individuals, and just be with them as they mourn the loss of their loved one, and also be with those, be with Donna, and bless her with successful surgery, and be with anyone else who has suffered some turmoil in their lives, and just bless them and keep them safe and well. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Okay, we will sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 2 and 3. The first Noel, verses 1 and 4. Communion hymn is Just As I Am, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and Stand on 5.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood
Meditation this morning is titled Seek Wisdom. No matter where you look, there's opportunity. It may not be knocking on your door, but all you have to do is drive around and you'll see opportunity calling out from billboards, bus stops, anything else big enough for a sign. Watch television, you'll see more messages and opportunities. Surf the internet and little banners will flash constantly. Get rich quick, save money now. Free internet access. Your problem isn't opportunity. Opportunity is plentiful and cheap, and you usually get what you pay for. What you need is wisdom in order to sort through the opportunities. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do, wrote Solomon in Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom leads to good judgment, which enables you to make good decisions. And if you're able to make good decisions, you'll have the ability to sort through the worthwhile opportunities that will come your way. Father, we thank you today for everything that you have done for us. There are a lot of opportunities in this world, and we just need to be watching for them. Just looking around this church today, I was noticing The attendance here is great today. I've talked to so many other people in other churches that are struggling trying to keep people coming to church. We even ran into some strangers in Iowa that we had the same discussion. But Father, we're all here today because we love you, and we're here because we love each other. So please be with all of us and hear what's on our hearts and on our minds. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Gene. That was beautiful. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Gene, so much. And we're just so blessed to have Gene and Jody and Anna play for us, so thank you. And now we welcome Jim and his family. We're so glad they're here, so welcome, Jim.
And seriously, we do need to look around this church, because recently we've talked to a lot of people just on the road, and churches are all having the same problem. They're just dwindling fast. People aren't coming. And even bigger churches in Iowa that we just talked to this week, it's just amazing how many people are not seeing the light, so to speak. So if you can drag somebody to church and bring them along.
That's a good image. How's everybody doing? Good. Are we smiley or maybe? I'm looking for happy faces.
Glad you're here.
You're glad? Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad I'm here too. I'm tired. I stayed in a hotel all last week, and it was a rough. I don't sleep good in hotels. Anybody else sleep good in hotels? Yeah. As I was looking at my scripture this morning, or really thinking about what I was going to talk about this morning, it brought me back to when I was a kid. How many ever went on a family road trip? Yeah, family road trip. They were special times when I was younger. I say that positively and negatively. We would go on these road trips together, and my mom and dad had a big van, because there was five kids, you know, so seven of us in a van. And I remember it just being a chaotic thing, right? You would sleep in between the seats and do all those things you couldn't do today, but you would sleep in between the seats and fight and yell. And I remember that the whole time, like, we'd go to 15 hours away, the whole time, what are the kids doing? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I'm guilty. We all did it. But could you imagine? I can't imagine being my mom and dad having five kids. And they didn't listen to each other. So every one of them had to ask that question. Are we there yet? All the time. Parents, have you heard? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Now I'm a parent, I've got kids, that are grown and out of the house, and it's not changed any. When we go on a trip, guess what we hear? Are we there yet? How much longer? It could be a two-hour trip, and 15 or 20 minutes into the trip. Are we almost there? And here's the thing I don't understand is, back when I was a kid, maybe some of you seem different, all we had was these little board games you could play, like right where you saw a semi, you could flip the little thing over, and it was like hunting for stuff. Now they got iPads and phones and TVs with movies they can watch. I don't know, like, it aggravates me as a father when I'm traveling because of all this "are we there yet" stuff. I, as an adult, am so much better than my kids with this whole timing thing, right? Are you better than your kids? Well, better than them. Now, I thought that until last week. Last week, I humbled myself driving to Murray, Kentucky. I had to go there for work. It's a 5.5-hour drive, and I was all set to go, right? I left right after church. I had to be there Sunday night so we could start early Monday. I had my little GPS, and I had my screen. I was all set to go. I'm off and driving along. Everything's going just fine. Occasionally, I would look over at my screen. And remember, 5.5-hour trip. And I would look over there, and my little GPS thing would say 5 hours left. I'd look away, and I'd drive for what seemed like an eternity. I mean, I drove forever without looking at my screen, because if you don't look at the clock, right, it goes faster. I didn't look at the screen forever. And then I looked back over at the screen, and I had 4 hours and 57 minutes. I was getting so aggravated and upset that when I finally arrived, all I could think about was that I have to go home on Friday. And I get to do this all over again. I am not any better than my kids at times. Maybe you're better. Maybe you're good. Maybe some of you just love driving. I am not any better than my kids when it comes to driving. The only thing missing on this trip by myself was somebody in the truck that I could say, "Are we there yet?" Nobody to talk to, just aggravation and despair. There was no peace because I still had 4 hours and 57 minutes to go. See, to children, 1 minute can seem like an hour. And I say to children, I wrote that down and then I had to edit it because now it's to children and me. 1 minute feels like an hour. It feels like forever. Now, there's occasions, right? We talked about that before, where when things are going really good, you're having a really good time, time just flies by, right? But most of the time, in our world today, in our lives, we have so much going on that time just goes real slow. And 1 minute is like an hour, especially when we go through challenges in our lives, right? When you go through a challenge in your life, when do you want it to be fixed? Right now. I want it to be fixed right now. I don't want to wait. And I pray, we had prayers this morning and prayer requests. When do we as human beings want those prayer requests answered? Immediately. Just like when the new iPhone comes out. We have to have it right now. I have to have the newest, latest gadget. And I'm going to drive hours and hours to get it. We want our prayers answered immediately. We're just as bad as our kids when it comes that way. And we don't understand oftentimes when God doesn't act the way we want him to. Lord, I've been praying. Why are you not acting on the timeline that I want? I still have 4 hours and 57 minutes left. Why can you not speed up time? We go through these challenges and that's what happens. See, what does the world tell us? The world tells us we can have it now, and we should have it now. You should be able to get anything you want, anytime you want. And if you don't, then you have every right to be unhappy and post a bunch of negative stuff on Facebook about it. Post whatever you want, it's okay, because you didn't get what you wanted when you wanted it. Thank you, Burger King. We don't understand why God doesn't do what we want. And here's the thing. God's timing is not the same as ours. The world's timing is surely not the same as God's. What happens is sometimes we mesh the two together. We forget what God says and what he expects and what the world expects. And we mesh the two. That becomes our new found timing that we have as human beings, right? We kind of mesh the two together and that becomes our new timing. And what happens when God doesn't do what you want him to do, when you want him to do it? You lose faith. People lose faith in God. We start to misunderstand why he's not acting. And we lose faith. We can lose faith in God because of our timing expectation and what his timing is. We can lose time. I mean, it's just the way it is. You lose faith. Because the world tells us something different than what the Bible tells us. And I'm going to be the first to admit it. How many of you spend more time in your Bible than you do in the world? It's okay to be honest. We don't, right? So what are we going to listen to most of the time? Sometimes we have to take a step back and understand where we need to spend our time, because this is going to tell us and change the way we think about what God's timing is. See, there's all these different timings. There's the world timings, there's your neighbor's timings, there's your brother's timings, your mom's timings, all these different things you have to take into your mind. Which one do you pay attention to? There was a man that went into a train station, and he asked breathlessly, ran in there, and he said, "What time does the 801 train leave?" "At 801, the attendant answered. "Well," the man replied, "it's 7:59 by my watch, 7:57 by the town clock, it's 8:04 by the station clock. Which time am I to go by?" "You can go by any clock you wish," said the agent, "but you cannot go by the 801 train, for it has already left." That's our lives. We get so wrapped up in timing that we forget. So this morning, we're going to look at God's timing. We're going to look at a scripture that tells us about God's timing and why, and hopefully it provides you some peace. And I'm also, because I give you challenges when before I leave, I'm going to give you a challenge. So hopefully you find some peace with the scripture that Peter gives, because that's why he gave it. But also, I hope you see the challenge and the struggle that we're going to have to do as Christians. So we're going to look at God's timing. See, here's the deal. We don't know what schedule we can expect with God. But what we do need is we need to be alert and ready. As Christians, you don't get to just be a spectator. Now, this morning, isn't it? You can be a spectator this morning. Unless you want to come up here, I'll happily hand over my stuff and you can do the talking. But as Christians, we cannot be just spectators. We have to be ready. So this scripture this morning is from 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's verses 8 to 15. And this is what Peter says. "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends." This is painful. "A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Everyone. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth as he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with wisdom God gave him." Why is it important for us to look at what Peter wrote? Those lessons for the people of that time relate very well to us. I think time now is even worse. Like, our expectation of time now just continues to get worse and worse. So see, Peter wrote this because it had been a few years, it had been lots of years since the crucifixion of Jesus at the time. And there was a lot of false teachers out there saying that the second coming had already passed. They were teaching that the second coming had already passed. You can see this from 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-2. "Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us." So there were people teaching false things. Does that happen today? Is there any false stuff? I mean, you mentioned a whole bunch of stuff the internet and Google searching and all. You think you can find anything fake on the internet? There's lots of things and poor teaching happening. False teachers telling people the Lord had already come. So what do you think happened when these false teachers were teaching this to people? They got worried. They got worried for themselves because they're alive and the people they're telling them the Lord had already come back. And then they were worried about the people, their friends and family who had died because the Lord had already come back. They were scared. Are we immune to some of that talk of end times and the Lord's already come back or when he's going to come back? No. I did a really simple Google search. Google's your friend. I found 10 or more different instances of predictions of when the end time was going to happen, when Jesus was going to return. 10 times. One search, very top thing. 10 times. We are not immune to what is going on and the predictions that were made. So Peter's lesson to the people then, which was a lesson of peace, to calm them down, is very relevant to us today. Peter talks about the timing of the Lord. This hurts me. One day is like 1,000 years. It's like your kids, 1 hour or 1 minute's like 1 hour. I just can't fathom that. One day is like 1,000 years to God. The Lord's ways, we've been told, is not, they're way above ours, but they're nothing like ours. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord." And everybody gets frustrated, right? Because we all want everybody to think like us. God says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." I don't know about you, but I have a pretty active imagination. Anything I could imagine, the Lord's thoughts and ways are that far away from mine. Verse 9, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." That's amazing. Let's look at how our world operates today. What happens when you make a mistake today? Say something wrong, do something wrong, what happens? You're no longer a human being anymore. We cancel each other super easy. We enjoy removing people from our lives that don't agree with us or we don't get along with. We have no problem removing people from our lives. It's very easy for us as a people today to give up on each other. Nod your head yes if you agree. Very easy for us to give up on each other today. Peter says, this is not how God operates. This is not how God operates. God does not follow that same example. Our God is being patient with us. Patient. Our Lord doesn't want even one of us to perish. Not one. We're given time and opportunity that we might place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know about any of you, but I mess up on a daily, weekly, hourly occasion. It's like all the time. And sometimes I just am so mad at myself because I don't understand how ridiculous I can be sometimes. Do you, any of you not, you maybe you all don't mess up ever, but I mess up a lot. I read this and it gives me peace that my God gives me a chance and that I can redeem. He can redeem my mistakes, but he gives me the opportunity. He gives me the opportunity to put my faith and become more like him. I'm grateful for that. Gives us time to repent and follow Jesus. Gives us time. Now, I say that, giving us humans time, can that be a bad thing? Yes. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. The answer is yes. Giving us time can be a really bad thing. Our next lesson from Peter says, "The day of the Lord will come unexpectedly." Unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. So the problem with giving us humans time is we think that that means there'll be ample amounts of it. Right? I'm driving in my truck and every minute feels like an hour. And I feel like there's just all this time. Every day we go to sleep when the day is long and you're working, and we just start assuming that there will always be more time. We always assume that until something happens in our lives that wakes us up. But we go through life, and if the Lord gives us time to repent, sometimes we take advantage of it and we go slow because we have all kinds of time. There will always be tomorrow, we think. So we don't get in a rush to turn our lives around. We don't get in a rush to do something for God. We wait, and we don't try to bring this friend or this family member to Christ. We'll have next week to do it. We can talk to him next year. I'm going to wait until New Year's, and that's going to be my resolution. We don't hurry. We don't hurry and tell others about Jesus, or we don't hurry and do what God tells us. But Peter emphasizes there's peace because the Lord does not want you to perish, but you need to be ready because the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. Unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. We don't know when this will happen, but Peter emphasizes the need to be ready. Peter says, what holy, godly lives we should live. We should be actively working diligently for the Lord. There is so much to do. So much to do. It's a wonderful church. And you're right. Lots of people showing up. That's great. But there is so much to do. Look around. Are there empty places anywhere in this church? There is so much to do. We cannot wait because God is going to come unexpectedly. We should be actively working. We need to do what God asks us to do and not let time slip away from us. So our lesson this morning boils down to two things. The scripture that gives you peace this morning is that thankfully our Lord is being patient with us. Our Lord is being patient with us. And that's awesome. But we need to be ready and focused. Because on one side, Peter says he's being patient. But on the other side, Peter's saying, but it's going to come unexpectedly. You better be ready. We need to be ready for when that day comes. We don't know when it'll be. So there's a couple choices that I'm going to give you with. So this is your challenge this morning. A couple choices of how we can live for God. So we can live our lives for God. And we can prayerfully anticipate his return, or we can go through life as a spectator. That's really your choice. Our choice is we can do things for the Lord, prayerfully anticipate his return, or we can just be spectators in life. There was a Danish philosopher named Soren Kierkegaard, and he tells a parable of a theater where a variety show was taking place. So there's a show, all kinds of things going on. Each act was more fantastic than the last in this variety show. It was just wonderful. And it was applauded by the audience. The audience was just loving the act, just all kinds of applause. Suddenly the manager comes out, right in the middle of it. The manager comes out, and he apologizes for the interruption, but he tells the crowd that the theater is on fire. The theater is on fire. And he begs his patrons to leave in an orderly fashion. Now the audience thinks this is part of the show. And they applaud. They give him all sorts of applause. Thundering applause. They think it's the most amusing part of the whole evening. The manager again implores them to leave the burning building. And he is again applauded vigorously. Finally, the manager can do nothing else. He can do no more, and the fire races through the whole building and takes the fun-loving audience with it. And so, concluded Kierkegaard, will our age, I sometimes think, go down in a fiery destruction to the applause of a crowded house of cheering spectators? See, this morning, Peter tells us that Jesus is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. We don't know when. We don't know when, but we do know it'll be like a thief in the night. Will you be prepared? Will you be prepared? Or will you let time slip away because you think there's so much of it? Or will you be prepared? Will you use your God-given time wisely? Will you do what the Lord asks you to do? Will you choose to live a godly life and do the work that the Lord asks you to do? That's really the lesson. Jesus is coming back. There's peace that the Lord gives us, that gives us time. But we've got to be ready. The only other option is to go down in fiery destruction as spectators. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this group of people. They're like a second family to us. And Lord God, I thank you for all they do in their community. And as we come closer to celebrate your birth, Lord God, we anticipate it so much. We're so thankful for the opportunity to celebrate it. But Lord God, this morning, let us not think we have so much time. We thank you for the blessing of time and your patience that we can get better and grow and be closer to you. But we also need to be focused, because your day, the day that Jesus returns, is going to be like a thief in the night when we least expect it. Lord God, I ask you to touch each person's heart this morning and challenge them to do what it is that you want them to do, to wake them up, to make them alert. Lord God, we thank you for all the blessings. We give you all the praise this morning and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. Please stand for our song of invitation, Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus.